Hey, good morning, church. We're coming to the end of our journey through the New Testament, Immerse Messiah. It's week 7. We have one more week, and hopefully you've been able to follow along with the reading. We begin each sermon with this prayer. So wherever you're at, whomever you're gathered with, let's just all pray this prayer together out loud. Here we go. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, grant, we pray, that we might be grounded and settled in your truth, by the coming of your Holy Spirit into our hearts. What we do not know, reveal to us. What is lacking within us, make complete. That which we do know, confirm in us, and keep us blameless in your service. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You know, this week you're going to begin reading John's Gospel, and you're going to have an opportunity to read some of John's reflections on the resurrection of Jesus. John's gospel ends the same way it begins. He emphasizes the incarnation of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is God in the flesh. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, "So the Word became human," that is, became flesh, "and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. We have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son." So John begins this gospel emphasizing that Jesus is God in the flesh. In other words, he's real. He's not some ghost. He's not some apparition. Jesus wasn't some metaphor for some spiritual presence. Jesus had a heartbeat. He had respirations. He felt pain. He experienced fatigue and hunger. Jesus knew what it was to experience joy. He knew what it was to experience sorrow. And the thing is, John ends his gospel in the same place that he began his gospel, by emphasizing that Jesus is God in the flesh. After Jesus' resurrection, he's not some ghostly figure that suddenly appears on the scene. He's not some apparition. He's not some metaphor for resurrection. Jesus is real, God in the flesh. And in John chapter 20 and 21, we see several instances where that point is made quite clear. So, for example, on resurrection morning, Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb and she encounters an empty tomb and she sees Jesus there. She touches Jesus. In fact, Jesus tells her, "Do not cling to me." Sometime later, Jesus suddenly appears in the midst of his 12 followers, minus Thomas, who wasn't there at the time. And he shows them his scars, making it clear that he is indeed Jesus raised in bodily form. About 8 days later, Jesus again appears to his disciples, and this time Thomas is with the other 11. And, well, I guess 10 at that point, Judas isn't with them. And Jesus has this encounter with them. Here's what John said about it. John chapter 20, verse 26. 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." And by the way, that's you and I. Those who've believed without seeing Jesus in his resurrected bodily form. Jesus blesses us in verse 29. You know, I've thought a lot about resurrection this week, and you're probably thinking, "Well, of course you did, preacher. It's Easter Sunday. I'd hope you'd be thinking about the resurrection this week." But, you know, maybe this week, I'm certain I've thought about the resurrection for a reason that maybe you haven't suspected. And that is because 1 year and 2 days ago, my dad passed away. And then just 10 days after dad died, on Easter Sunday morning, 2019, my mom passed away. You talk about two weird Easters for me back to back. Easter 2019, I'm preaching to you all about 8 hours after my mom passes. And Easter 2020, I'm preaching to you all sort of virtually through this live stream that we're showing. And it, all week long, as I've thought about just the resurrection and mom and dad, it's as though God, through the Holy Spirit, has been whispering this truth into my being. And that is that Jesus is the path to resurrection, but he's also the pattern of resurrection. Jesus is the resurrection path, and Jesus is the resurrection pattern. You know, over the years, I've thought a lot more about the first half of that sentence than I have the second half of that sentence. Of course, Jesus is the path to the resurrection. I mean, he defeated death. And for all of those who choose to follow Jesus, we too can tread that path to salvation. The Apostle Paul was one of the first author in the New Testament to write about Jesus' resurrection. In one of the letters that he wrote to a church, actually this is the letter to the church in Rome, here's what Paul told them. That message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You see, Jesus' resurrection is the path to be saved. It is how you and I will experience resurrection. It's the path, but it's also the pattern. And that's what I want us to focus on for these next few minutes, because it's meant so much to me this past week. Think about this carefully now. Jesus was dead for 3 days. And then on the third day, he was bodily resurrected. He wasn't a ghost. He was real. Over and over and over, the Bible is clear on this, that Jesus' resurrection, his bodily resurrection, is the pattern for all of us who are his followers. Just as Jesus was resurrected bodily, so too will all of those who follow him be resurrected after their physical death. You see, if you're a Christian, your body is not just going to be resurrected, but your body is also going to be perfected. I love what Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, Philippians 3, verse 21. Jesus will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own. I can't really say for certain exactly what that is going to be like, but I can speculate. You know, I was reading this last week that humans peak in different areas at different ages. So, for example, physical strength peaks around the age of 25. The ability to process information, to take on lots of new information quickly, that peaks right at about age 19, which is good because that's, you know, when you're going to college. Your vocabulary, I learned, peaks in the early 70s. That's when you'll have the largest vocabulary of your life in your early 70s. Financial literacy peaks at age 50. In different areas of our life, we peak at different ages. And here's what I like to think. I like to think that our resurrection bodies will combine all of these peaks into one amazing package. I certainly hope that's the case. And it's not just for selfish reasons. Of course, I want to have a perfected body, as I'm sure all of us do. But it's because I really want to see my mom and dad when they're at their best. You know, I want to see what my dad was like when he first got out of the Navy. I want to see and get to know my mom again when she's free from the effects of that accident she was in, that car crash she was in as a teenager that really affected her the rest of her life. I want to see what they're like. I want you to understand something this Easter. I want you to understand it, but I also want you to feel it. I want you to get it here in your head, but I want you to get it here in your hearts too. I want you to know and to feel that Jesus is the pattern for resurrection. The way in which Jesus was raised, you and I will be raised. Bodily, for real, not some metaphor, not some ghost, not some apparition. We're going to be physically, bodily raised from the dead and experience perfection. Paul told the church in Corinth, it will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever, and we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. We're going to do something a little different this Easter, as if all of this hasn't already been different. I'm going to ask Walter Neuenschwander to come, and he's going to lead us in sort of an online virtual small group. Walter, come and join us.